Oh.
Hey, the Paradise Town Board will come to order today, January 10th, 2023 at 7 o'clock. And if you would first join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, before we get started, I'd like to point out some things at the top of the agenda. Items on the agenda may be taken out of order. The board may combine two or more agenda items for consideration. The board may remove an item from the agenda or delay discussion relating to an item at any time. No action may be taken on any matter not listed on this posted agenda. All planning and zoning matters heard at this meeting are forwarded to the Board of County Commissioners or the Clark County Planning Commission for final action. Please turn off or mute any of your cell phones or any other electronic devices that might go off and disturb the meeting. If you have private conversations you'd like to conduct, if you take them to the lobby behind you or to your right out in the lobby out there. And I will leave the other items for you to read on your own. Let the record reflect that all the board members are present. And could we have staff introductions?
Welcome off to the Clark County Commissioner's office.
And Steve DeMara, Conference Planner.
Okay, thank you. I'll go ahead and read item number two into the item, public comment. This is a period devoted to comments by the general public about items on this agenda. No discussion or action or vote may be taken on this agenda item. You will be afforded opportunity to speak on individual public hearing items at the time they are presented. If you wish to speak to the board about items within its jurisdiction but not appearing on this agenda, you must wait until the comments by the general public period listed at the end of the agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes, and when you come up, if you'd use the microphone up here, just push up on the button, a little red light will come on, or amber light, one or the other. Give us your name, and if you'd spell your last name for the record and your address. If any member of the board wishes to extend the length of a presentation, this will be done by the chairperson or the board by majority vote. We have approval of the minutes for December 27,
2022. Mr. Chair, I move to approve the minutes with no changes.
We have a motion to approve the minutes from December 27, 2022. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. And I guess I should ask, does anybody have any comments so far? Okay. Approval of the agenda for January 10, 2023.
Mr. Chair, we have the following holds from the agenda this evening. Item number one, DR220582, Capstone Christian Academy, holdover design review. Do we have a date on that one? Holding to 131.
January 31st.
Yeah, January 31st.
That will be held to our January 31st meeting. Item number six, VS220068, Lee A and A Family Limited Partnership. That is being held to the January 31st meeting. And item number 8, ET21400129, Pacific Place Site LLC, a holdover zone change, fifth extension of time, is being held to the July 11th meeting. So if you're here for any of those three items, they will not be heard tonight. You're welcome to stay and hear the rest of the meeting, or you can return after. So I shall make a motion to approve the agenda with those changes.
So we have a motion to approve the agenda with the aforementioned items. Items number one, item number six, item number eight. Those items will not be heard tonight if you're here for those items. You're welcome to stay or leave, whichever you care to do, but those items will not be heard. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. There are no informational items, as I understand it, tonight, so we will move on to item number six, general business. Board to review and approve the 2023 Paradise Town Board meeting calendar. Possible action.
Mr. Chair, the only notation I had was the December 26th meeting, which is the day after Christmas, can be a little difficult. I would recommend that we cancel that meeting. The other two holidays, Valentine's Day and Halloween, we've traditionally met on those days without any issues. So unless someone else on the board has...
December 25th, it falls on a Sunday, and generally people are off the next day for those who have time off.
It's a Monday this year.
Hmm?
It's a Monday.
Yeah, but then people, it's a Monday? Okay. So, but they're, you know, people are traveling and what have you. Yeah, a lot of people. So, okay, so we have a motion to approve the calendar as presented, with the exception of December 26th, which the board will cancel. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, this is a time where we will elect a new chair and a new vice chair for the town board. Chairs are allowed to serve for 2-year terms, and then we have to switch under Nevada state statute. So item number two is elect a new chair and vice chair for Paradise Town Board. If no one has any comment, I would make a motion to approve Susan Phillip as chair and Caitlin Cunningham as vice chair. If there's no comment, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Weird voting for yourself.
It's weird voting for myself.
I'd like to take a minute and thank John Williams for the last 2 years for his service. I believe this, you're starting your 20th year?
21.
So we appreciate his service to Paradise and Clark County, and I'm glad to see him back.
Thank you.
Okay, so we're going to go straight into planning and zoning. Item number one was held. So we're on item number two, which is UC 220666, Nevada Sunset Management LLC, a use permit for a major training facility within a portion of an existing office complex on 1.4 acres in a CP office and professional AE 60 and 65 zone, generally located on the south side of Sunset Road, 335 feet east of Pecos Road within Paradise. Is our applicant here?
Yes, we're here.
Come on forward, take the microphone if you would. Okay. Give us your name and address for the record, and tell us what you'd like to do.
Hello, my name is Sebastian Law, and this is Natalia
Fosch.
And your address?
And do you want our, where we live, or do you want...
Either one, your live or your place of business.
Real quick, are you going to speak? Because I'll need the spelling of your last name.
Oh, okay.
Okay, P-A.
P-A, go ahead.
S-H-K-E-V-I-C-H.
Thank you.
Yeah. Excellent. So the address we'll use is 176 Judy Court, Apartment C, Henderson, Nevada, 89015. Anyway, so we're proposing a major training facility in a currently a zoned office space. It's currently been vacant for about 3 years. It used to be a printing press, you know, it's a wide open space, very flat. The neighbor is actually a salon that I started with my tenant. She was here months before, and she went through this process, so she gave us some heads up. The other neighbor is Leon. He does events, and he has a very similar situation, very open floor plan. And we would like to use this opportunity to teach Pilates in the area. There's a lot of office workers. There's actually some neighborhoods in that community who could benefit from exercise, fitness. And then we have a passion for dance. We're dancers. We dance a lot. And we don't go home until, like, you know, finish. Yeah, and we want to share that with other people. We find it enriching for community. People choose dance for many reasons. Fitness, community, artistic expression. And we feel like it would help bolster the community. A place for people to gather with or without, you know, without alcohol, right? A place to gather, meet their neighbors. And we're planning on offering free classes and Pilates and dance, which is something that can help enrich the community because it's no cost to enter. And we think that dance is a lifelong profession. It's a lifelong experience. So we want people to get involved no matter what age they are because it's like a language. We just learn to express ourselves better as time goes on. And, you know, in the beginning it's just going to be us. Nothing special, we just put a dance floor down.
Excuse me, ma'am. If you'd like to take a conversation outside, I believe I brought that up at the beginning of the meeting. Thank you.
She don't understand English. I just read up your language. Yes.
Vamos a bailar. Salsa y bachata. Todo el tiempo. And it's good for cultural exchange as well. You know, Latinos and American cultures merging in music and activity. You know, it's very simple. We just put a dance floor down. There's some Pilates equipment, reformers that we want to add. We're on good terms with all the neighbors. We're going to follow all the noise ordinances. You know, there's no unruliness here. You know what I mean? We're very friendly people.
Okay.
If you have any questions for us or information you need.
Let's see if your neighbors do. Is there anyone from the public who would like to speak on this item? Seeing no one, I'll close it to the public and open it to the board. Anyone have anything? If no one has any questions or comments, I'd make a motion to approve subject to staff conditions. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, you're going to go on to, you got one, another step. You're going to the Planning Commission on February the 7th.
We'll be there.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Okay,
good
thank
luck.
Thank you for your time and congratulations on your new positions
seven.
And thank you for your service.
Show
Carla.
Oh,
yeah.
Doing a demo.
You don't have to stay. You can
I would be too.
You can stay if you want.
It might be the entertainment, right?
Yeah, they come back.
We'll do some exercise and dancing.
Okay, item number three is. Oh, we'll try this. Mahias Daisy Alzabal?
Yes.
Did I mess that up? Okay, use permit for a daycare. Waivers of development standards for the following. One, eliminate landscaping. Two, reduce the drive aisle width. And three, reduce trash enclosure setback. Design review for a daycare on 0.2 acres in an R1 single family residential zone. Generally located on the south side of Flamingo Road, 140 feet west of Shepherd's Drive within Paradise. So come on up. Okay, and if you want to give us your name, take the microphone and give us your name and address for the record.
My name is Daisy Olazabal.
Can you spell that for Maureen there?
Your last name. Spell your last name.
Hola, Saban. Hola,
do you want to come up and assist?
I'm her daughter. It's speaking literally.
Thank you. You're good.
And what is the address?
The address for the business?
Yes.
Yes.
47
4787.
I'm sorry, she's a little nervous.
That's all right.
Don't be nervous. Yeah.
Don't be scared.
And I wonder, like, how is her English for like that? She can
communicate
much better.
Okay. Yep. Go ahead.
Flamingo.
Correct. There you go. And tell us what you like to do.
Is there a place she's here in Spanish and I'll translate for her?
Sure, or you can just speak for her. You just give us your name and address and then you can speak for her.
Okay. I'll listen and I'll translate.
Yes, there you go. But you have to give us your name and address since you're speaking.
My name is Gina Cano. My address is 37 South Nellis Boulevard, apartment 2601. Las Vegas,
8921. Okay. Is it not on? Is the mic all the way up?
Did we break it on the second person?
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right. Okay, so tell us what you'd like to do.
So technically she already spoke to the neighbors. She had good communication with them. She actually wants to do the daycare to have and they do agree for them to do a daycare there. She actually also works with kids. That's her job. She loves kids. She's very interested in opening up her own daycare and that she can have more communications with the minors. And she also works with special ed kids for the government also. She's been doing it for 7 years working with kids, and she would love for you to allow her to have the permit to have her own daycare.
Okay.
She really would appreciate you guys giving the permit, like she said, to have her own daycare.
Okay. Is there anyone from the public who'd like to speak on this item? Seeing no one, I'll close it to the public and open it to the board. John, do you have anything?
Yeah, are you aware that staff is recommending denial?
The staff?
Yeah, are you aware that staff is recommending denial on this?
Yeah.
Okay.
How many? I know it's like four classrooms and you have an office. How many children is she looking to have at the daycare? What is her number?
Only ten kids.
To start. So with that license, what is the max that would allow you to have the license she's going to have to get for the home, you know, business? What is the max of students will they allow? Because you're saying 10 now, but what's her max number? You know?
100. Okay. Want to start with 100.
So in that area, you have commercial behind the property, correct?
There's I think in the front.
Okay.
It's not in the house, it's in the back.
So the traffic, when you have staff there, if you have 10 kids, how many staff do you have per student then?
I know. Six kids for each of four floors.
The property out front is all concrete. okay? Up the street, because you're several blocks away from us. But we're in a residential area. Yours is residential, but there's some business. Now, the other properties that I saw appear to be residential, although they're concrete as well. But again, they're residential. If you're going to have that many employees, and you're coming off of Flamingo onto that property, there's no way that you're going to have adequate circulation through that property to drop those, to pick up and drop off kids. And there's no real good parking on Flamingo. And if you look at the properties down the street from there that do have a similar setup to the front, I think there's two or three properties. Okay. And you look at how they're parked on their residential property, there's no way that you can get your traffic, your people picking up the kids off of Flamingo safely and circulate out back on Flamingo.
They give them the permit for them to go in and out from the traffic study. We are ready for traffic study.
Mm-hmm. Well, that may be, but you're still going to have some place to park your employees, and you're still going to have a place somehow for those people to get to the property, and that's not going to work.
They told us that for employees that can park in the front of the shopping section. They can have parking only for
so you're going to have parking for your employees off site, which now, no.
Yeah, here's the site.
Can I see that?
Yeah.
No, we also seen the
She's telling me that there's 5 parking spaces in there, 2 for employees, and the other 3 are for dropping off only, and then 2 outside. And the city did approve that.
I think one of the issue that staff has is the fact that it's completely concreted over. There's another property near you, in fact there's several along Flamingo, where they just concreted the whole front yard, whether it was being used for a business or not. And you're not allowed to do that. You have to have some kind of landscaping and a driveway in a residential area, even if it faces a busy street like Flamingo. And so that's one of the things that they are bringing up, is you can't eliminate 100% landscaping. You've got to put in something, and you're asking to have it eliminated. So,
and they were also concerned about the on-site circulation.
Yeah, so your drive aisle is a little smaller. You're not going to have a trash enclosure. So there's several things about that site that it becomes a problem, because it's basically just a huge concrete slab with a house sitting in the middle of it. So even if you use that as a daycare, is anyone going to live there else during the week, and the kids come in during the day? Is that the plan?
So basically she's saying that it's 4 like newborns there, and the other it's after pre-K, after they get out of school, they'll go there to do some classes.
So The fact that you're just doing a small daycare is okay. The problem is your architect didn't properly follow codes. So you can't just create a business in the middle of a residential neighborhood and treat it like a business without going through a lot of code steps, which you're not doing. You're trying to just bypass. So and that's what it's saying, is it typically requires several waivers of development standards to accommodate a different use on a residential property. So your waivers to not have any landscape, to not put up any landscape screening so your neighbors aren't looking at it, you're asking to waive all that. So what I'm going to suggest is you go back to your architect and say, we need to change this to meet the codes and ask for less reductions. Like, you know, you need landscaping along the sides here so that your neighbors aren't looking at a parking lot. You're in a residential neighborhood.
So you need to show a little bit better how you're going to circulate vehicles on and off that property. Okay? So now
Madam Chair. Yes. We would suggest that you hold this, request for us to hold this item, and you get back with your architect, your planner, the staff planner, and get some of these resolved, because we'll be more likely to be able to accept it. Right now it's a denial, and there's really no way that we could move this forward.
Yeah.
Because we have to think about your neighbors who are not, you know, who are living there, that have to live with that after you guys go home. So.
And then if you did that,
you have to ask.
Please hold.
Okay, please hold.
Would you?
30 days.
Give them 30 days.
Okay.
Because I'm a planner.
Oh, you're the planner.
I'm the planner.
Okay, very good. So, at the request of the applicant, we are going to request a hold of 30 days, which would take us to the February. What is it? Oh, here's the calendar right here. The February 14th meeting, Valentine's Day.
So you're going to come back.
Yes. To come back.
Do the changes, submit, and they come back.
Okay.
And then
we have a motion on the floor. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I would also, I'm going to give you this fact. The guy who drew this for you, tell him to come with you.
Okay, thank you. Yes, he
can explain all the technical stuff we keep asking you that you're not able
that
to.
That we're not aware of that.
Yes.
Okay.
Maybe you can come up with just a little bit better plan with landscaping and circulation.
Yes. And Steve says he'll help.
Because what I don't want to see is what we have on Eastern. before you get to Russell, where you have what used to be residential properties are now pretty much all business.
Yes.
And the landscaping kind of all disappeared.
I see what
and
you mean.
And that, you know,
I understand your point.
So see what you can do.
We'll definitely work on this. Thank you so much. Okay, item number four. UC 220678 PFC Sunset LLC, a use permit for a proposed sporting goods firearm sales business within a portion of an existing office warehouse building on a 0.1 acre portion of a 3.8 acre site and an MD design manufacturing AE 65 and AE 70 zone, generally located on the north side of Sunset Road, 700 feet east of McLeod Drive within Paradise. Hello.
Madam Chairman, I have to abstain from any comment or vote because I have a card.
Thank you. You can come closer.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, members of the board, good evening. My name is Ian Croxton, C-R-O-X-T-O-N. I'm the manager of PFC Lowdown, which is the retail establishment of the PFC group of companies. Today we're here before you, like you said, to obtain a special use permit so that we can operate a sporting goods slash firearms retail outlet. Currently, PFC Lowdown is a retail establishment dealing mostly in gear, defensive items. I also operate as the pro shop for the PFC group of companies, which is a organization that does training for our military, for law enforcement, as well as civilians. We also run a variety of different security-related businesses from our headquarters. The obtaining of the special use permit that would allow us to deal in firearms is not going to change the general nature of our business, either as the greater group of companies or PFC Lowdown specifically. We don't have a ton of traffic and we're not intending to open a full line firearms store. The intention with having the FFL, the Federal Firearms License that we are trying to obtain, is to be able to transfer firearms to our existing clientele, potentially to do deals with manufacturers so that we can have bespoke firearms that are particularly branded to our brand, and also to display said firearms. The actual structure or the landscaping will not be affected by this change. Our hours of operation shall remain the same. We would expect that our clientele base would essentially stay the same. It would just allow us to obtain that federal firearms license.
Very good. Is there anyone from the public who'd like to speak on this item? Seeing no one. Oh, there he is.
You
got to give us your name and address.
I'm sorry. My name is Ron Gutierrez.
And the address?
My address?
Yep.
4329 Merlot Street.
Did you get that?
Can you come up and use the microphone, please? Because the reason, one of the reasons that we do that is because it's recorded.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So you can all listen to it again.
Oh,
when you go home.
Hi. I just want to know because I was born and raised in Vegas, and I've seen plenty of gun stores around this area.
Address the
Oh, I'm sorry. It's like, so what I wanted to know is like, how many competitors does this gentleman have, and if having another location for firearms would be relevant in our district?
Okay, sure, go ahead.
Happy to answer that.
Thank you.
As I stated previously, our intention is not to open a full line gun store. Our intention is not to operate as a full-line gun store. There are, as the gentleman said, many different full-line gun stores currently operating in our district. We have a very unique company in that we are representing both a training institution, a security operation, so we provide security both in a physical form, but also as far as recommendations on security. There aren't many companies that have as broad a reach as what we do. The obtaining of the federal firearms license, though it would be the same federal firearms license that a traditional gun store would have, would just essentially be a formality so that we can deal in those firearms. Our intention is not to carry, you know, every single pistol and rifle, and, you know, we'll probably have several different firearms, but they will all be specifically branded to our company.
I have a follow-up question as well.
Sure.
Mayor?
Yes.
Sorry. Thank you. Will you be doing any, so you said training, so does that, is that specifically like CCW? And don't get me wrong, I'm a holder of a CCW.
Sure.
So, yeah.
It's probably pertinent that I do explain that. When I'm referring to training, the training that we do at the headquarters, which is the address that PFC Loadout is located at, is classroom-based training. So a lot of that is done in a traditional classroom facility. We are also registered as a minor training facility, so we do combatants training. So we have like a mat room, we have jiu-jitsu classes that we offer. We integrate that training into our overall training philosophy. We have a large CrossFit gym that's also part of us. The actual retail location is just a small, somewhat ancillary to the other companies that are involved with PFC.
Good, thank you.
Can I continue one more? Just one more?
One more. Since no one else is asking, I'll leave you one more.
Will you specifically, or will, am I speaking to him or speaking
You're
to
speaking
you?
You're speaking to
the
board. And then
will
we have
he
to...
be a hub for, because he says it sounds like it's not going to be a major thing, but is it going to be a hub for just other companies to just kind of like, you're just kind of like a hub point to kind of move firearms in a sense? Is that... Or?
No, as I said, we operate as essentially a pro shop and a gear shop currently, and we would continue to operate as a gear and a pro shop. We would just add the firearms as an adjunct to that. It's just another product line that we would be able to then deal with. We have a firearms training facility that is located near Sandy Valley, Nevada, and that is where we actually do our physical firearms training of that nature. There would be no shooting, no firearms training taking place actually at that facility. I'd like to clarify that.
Thank you. And I'm going to ask one question you asked of Steve. Is there any code restrictions on how many gun shops can be within a certain area?
I don't think there is.
May I?
Yeah. I know ATF has to license them.
Yeah.
And I do believe a gunsmith is a different classification for your purposes than a sporting goods firearms.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have any regulations on separation. Now, what the federal government has, I don't know.
Sure.
Okay. I'm going to close it to the public and open it to the board.
My question might be more for you again. Is there any ruling towards how close they can be to a park? Because it's on the cloud, so we are, you know, McLeod and Sunset, that is a public park is nearby. Is there, I know, like school zones and that sort of stuff, I don't know if public parks fall in. Okay. I just want to make sure that we're not about to cause problems.
I believe there was a gun store in that center previously. You're in the Quail Center on the corner?
My understanding in the 2000 complex, right. There is another firearm, someone else that does have an FFL. I'm not sure of the nature of their business. I've tried to contact them, and they're not readily contactable.
That sounds good.
Madam Chair, if no one has anything else, so I'll make a motion to approve subject to preliminary staff conditions.
We have a motion on the floor to approve this item subject to preliminary staff conditions. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Good luck.
You
go to the Planning Commission on, I got 2-7 again. Is there a different?
That's what I have.
2-7. 2-7? I got 2-17.
Yeah, some say 2-17 and some say 2-7.
I'd say go with 2-7. There's no one there.
You got it. Thank you.
Okay, item number 5, UC220688, Center for Spiritual Living, a use permit for a place of worship in conjunction with an office complex on a portion of 4.1 acres in a CRT commercial residential transition zone within the Russell Road Transition Corridor Overlay, generally located on the north side of Russell Road and the west side of Gateway Road within Paradise.
Hello.
Good evening. I'm Reverend Laura Hallett, H-A-L-L-E-T-T, and I have with me representatives from New Wings Construction, who is doing our building. I don't know your last name, Laura.
Last name is I-S-R-R-O.
And your address?
4080 East Russell Road.
Very good. And tell us what you'd like to do.
So we are a well-established spiritual organization here in Fairbanks Township. We were established in 1958. We had a building that opened in 1963 on East Harmon, one block east of the university. We sold it in 2020 to the University of Las Vegas, and we are now in the process of opening up a new center for our organization. So we purchased a building that is completed on the outside, is in great shell condition on the inside, and so we're looking for permits to establish our organization there.
Okay, is there anyone from the public who'd like to speak on this item? Okay. Before we get started, how many people here are opposed to this item?
1, 2, 3.
Is there anyone for the item? Is everybody else just have questions? Okay, so give us your name and address. And
my name is Tim Arnold, 5625 South Gateway, two lots north of the proposed project. I don't know if I'm opposed or in agreement with this project. I just don't know what it is. Unlike past projects in the neighborhood where the developers have reached out to the surrounding community and put things on our doorknob or sent us a get-together notice in the mail and then sat us down in a room and explained what they wanted, this just seemed to drop out of nowhere. I'm also very concerned about what a place of worship is as compared to a denominational church, and I want to know what the Center for Spiritual Living is and what it does. I'm concerned for two reasons. First of all, parking. The PR zoning, which is overlaying that piece, requires 3 or 4 spaces per 1,000 square feet, and I would think that a church that holds services would immediately swamp that, and that the traffic would overflow onto the residential streets on all sides of it, which are still zoned RE. I'm very concerned about that, and I'm also concerned about this use morphing into another use. To use an example, certainly not as extreme as these people, but the sex club that closed on the 5100 block of Pecos was originally permitted as an educational facility, and it morphed into something else. What if this is morphing into a halfway house, a drug rehabilitation center? I don't know who these people are, and they've made no outreach at all to explain what their project is, and I think it has the potential, I'm not saying it's going to, it has the potential to ruin the rural feel of the surrounding residential neighborhood. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Next, name and address, please. I'm going to get all the questions and then I'll ask them back.
All right, my name is Dawn Morrison. I am at 5607 South Gateway Walk Road, which butts up right to that property. They've already been holding stuff on an occasional Sunday for the last 3 or 4 months. They've got speakers out there. They're disturbing the quietness of my neighborhood. The parking lot looks directly into my backyard. I have pools, I have kids, I have animals. I don't wish everybody that attends your facility to be looking into my backyard, as well as their landscaping has started to eat away my wall.
Just address the board.
The landscaping that's already there has started eating away the block wall between the two properties because the property is higher than us. Just sitting in a car, they're already looking into my backyard. Like I said, they've already disturbed the neighborhood having some of their, I'm assuming, fundraiser type things at facilities already, even though they don't have the permission to be there, as well as the parking. I live right next door. They're going to have parking on the street in front of my house on my property, and I do not wish for that to happen, as well as the extra traffic. Okay. Thank you.
Your turn.
Yes, is this on?
There should be a light.
Push, yeah. Push, there you go. I heard it on there.
Try
I think so.
Can you hear me?
So your name and address.
Okay, my name is Robert Tibesar, T-I-B-E-S-A-R. I live at 3938 East Russell Road on an acre and a half. And the problem is I got something in the mail a couple days ago. I have no idea where the office complex would be versus a church, if it's a church. There's just not enough information to been put on the, you know, the invitation here. And so I don't know if that very corner, there's one corner house there on Gateway and Russell, and I don't know if that's where they planned on putting an office or not, and where would this, if it's a church, would it go further back on Gateway?
Keep the microphone by you.
Oh, if it's a church, would it go further back on Gateway? I've lived in my home there for 30 years, and it's about, you know, I designed and built the home, because that's what I had, architecture. And it's a white house with lots of red geraniums if you ever drove by. So anyway, I'm just concerned because I don't have any information, as far as I'm concerned, on where the office complex would go, and if there is a church, where that goes, and where the parking goes. So it's really hard for me to say I'm in favor of it when I don't have any of this information exactly. What was given to us is just a long strip of Russell Road there and a little square building in on the very corner of Eastgate and Russell, and I don't know if that was supposed to be the office complex or not. So I just can't, I mean, I hate to say I oppose it, because I'm not really opposed to churches. I just would like to know what's going on here.
Okay. Is there anyone else who would like to speak? Okay, seeing no one, I'm going to close it to the public and open it to the board. I'm going to start because the project is across this Russell from my neighborhood. I'm at Lamb and Russell. So I'm very familiar with it. We're talking about a parcel that has office buildings built on it that have been vacant for at least 10 years that I can remember.
2008.
Yes. No one ever moved into those. So you all know the complex. So a lot of the questions that have been brought up about parking and landscaping and the view in your backyard, those were all addressed when those buildings were built. The only thing they're asking for here is not to build anything, it's just basically a license to have their church there, because everything's already built, everything's already been approved and has been approved since 2008. So none of those concerns really matter. They need 194 parking spaces for a church. There's 195 parking spaces on their particular building parcel, because there's several parcels in there on that property. So they meet the parking requirements for what is there. So churches by code are allowed anywhere, pretty much. You're not allowed to ask what kind of church or what they do or who they are. A church is a church. We have freedom of religion here. So that's not a pertinent question to ask the applicant. And as far as it morphing into something else, we can't guess that. We can't block somebody from being something because they might do drugs later. I mean, your neighbor might start cooking meth in your house next door. We don't know that. We can't say, oh, you have to move out because you might cook meth one day. Same concept. So all that is before us as a board is a use permit for a place of worship. They are a place of worship. They're in a legal building for a place of worship. They're not asking for any changes or amendments. They're just saying, can we have our church there? And so as a board, we legally have no reason to deny the application. But I will let my other board members cheer in.
And also, to be clear, this is a use permit for a place of worship. If they wish to open a school, they will have to come back and ask for a use permit to open a school. If they want to open a charity shop, they will have to come back and ask for permission to do that. So all that this is going to be, as far as this use permit is a saying that they can gather at this location and worship in the manner that is appropriate to them. That's not going to be a grocery store. It's not going to morph into a Pelican bar. It's going to only be a office building that they will open doors, set up chairs and tables, and worship as they see fit. They're not going to sell alcohol. They're not going to sell chopskis. It's a place. Yeah, it's a place of worship.
I will add that if you are having problems with noise, if you are having events outside with speakers, that you take them inside, because there are noise ordinances that can be applied to that.
Also, I want to point out, any live entertainment outside is a separate use permit.
Yes.
So if they're having speakers outside, that would be a violation. So if they want that, they can amend future dates.
Yeah, so keep everything inside.
Or they get a special event.
So have you had speakers outside?
Yes, we get a building blessing. So we had our people come in and write good applications. Okay,
so now you know if you want to hold events, you got to.
Now I know that. We just we clarified with the owner of the property that we could do it, and because we own this building now, but there's still six other buildings that have not been purchased yet.
But basically what I'm reading here from your letter and the backup material that we have, that you submitted voluntarily, the church is a great place to learn leadership skills and practice what you're learning. So basically, you're there to be a church.
We're there to be a church. We teach meditation and spirituality.
Okay.
Once it's closed to the public, you don't get to raise your hand and ask questions. I'm sorry. It's just now it's done. If you have further questions for them, you'll have to wait until after and you can speak to them outside. Just saying, because I saw a hand raised back there. I don't want you to think we're ignoring you, but we sort of are on their list.
I understand that, but when that thing was originally built, it was supposed to be a 9-to-5 Monday through Friday thing.
Comments are over. Public comments.
But they're permitting
public comments.
Let me say one thing though. If you're kind of either neighbor, because I've had an incident where I've had a property and people have complained about lighting stuff, and I recommend that you get with her, and she is your neighbor. She is behind you. I know that the property was built and the light, everything was done, but you might want to smooth that over before.
Absolutely.
Formal complaints come. I mean, I'm just recommending
this
it.
This is my first time. I went to ministerial school.
Understand.
Architectural school or business college.
Yeah. So just, I would recommend trying to smooth it over and see what you can do to.
Absolutely.
Sheriff, no one has any other comments. I'd make a motion to approve, subject to the preliminary staff conditions.
We have a motion on the floor to approve this item, subject to preliminary staff conditions. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. And you go to the Planning Commission on 2-7 also. Hopefully. What's that kind of thing? Yeah, there it is. 2-7 on the 7th. Okay, item number 6 was held. Item number 7 is WS220667, County of Clark Aviation, waiver of development standards to allow modified driveway design. Design reviews for the following: one central maintenance and distribution facility at the Harry Reid International Airport, and two finished grade on a 16.8 acre portion of a 72-acre site in a PF public facility, AE60 and AE65 zone, generally located on the west side of Spencer Street and the north and south sides of Joel Aller Drive within Paradise.
Thank you. My name is Sarah Wright. last name is R-I-N-D, and my address is 151 East Warm Springs Road. Thank you for the opportunity to present today. Today we're looking for a design review for the Department of Aviation, the new central distribution maintenance facility, and vehicle maintenance. This project is located at the southern portion of the Harry Reid Airport within the airport property, and the address is 5875 Spencer Street. And what we're doing basically is taking over a vacant lot to build new employee parking. And then this existing facility here, which is within the secure airport runway zone, will be replacing the existing maintenance warehouse, constructing a new warehouse that is 78,500 square feet, a new central maintenance building with workshops, offices, and support spaces for the facility, and then the new 9,900 square foot vehicle maintenance with four maintenance bays. Also supporting this project will be a car wash with one car wash bay, and then a fuel island and the pumps below that canopy. Another portion of this is to adjust the secure fence line that separates the air side from the public land side. It will continue out from the warehouse building and connect to the existing secure fence line. So with this request, we are looking for design review approval of a grading change to this 4 foot height from the original grades, where 3 foot max is usually the standard. And that is in order for us to be able to have 4 foot height loading docks at the distribution warehouse facility, but also to maintain one finished floor level across the property while being able to create a positive drainage width from the building and connect to all of the existing site grades in the area. And that elevation also allows us to connect to the storm grades without modifying anything that's already in the structure of the road. And also along with this request, we're looking for a waiver of development standards. One of them is to reduce the approach distance from a driveway at the east side of the employee parking lot to the intersection of Joel Aller Drive. And that one is usually required to be 150 feet. We're requesting for 126 foot separation. And then another waiver request is to reduce the driveway throat depths off of the road into the parking lot. Those are being requested to drop down to a minimum of 9 feet. Open it for questions.
So anyone in the public would like to speak on this item? Seeing no one, I'll close it to the public and open it to the board.
Okay. My only concern is Spencer Street is growing more and more busy, so reducing throat depth on that just is worrisome to me, that someone's going to turn and cause a problem, especially employees trying to park when no one is using more parking. That's my only concern, but I mean, 25, 24 feet, I guess it's ultimately not terribly bad. But that's my biggest concern. I have no concerns about the grading because I'd rather us be able to drain into a draining system than ask them to rip it up and pour a whole new one so we could have a foot lower.
Anyone else? Can we make a motion?
Since no one else has any comments, I move to approve subject to staff preliminary conditions.
We have a motion on the floor to approve this item. Subject to flat staff preliminary conditions. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Item number 8 was held. Y'all just hanging out with us. So we have 8 on the agenda. Comments by the general public. A period devoted to comments by the general public about matters relevant to the board. Jurisdiction will be held. No vote may be taken on a matter not listed on the posted agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's podium. Clearly state your name and address, and please spell your last name for the record. If any member of the board wishes to extend the length of a presentation, this will be done by the chairperson, person, or the board by majority vote. Is there anyone who'd like to make general comments? Your name and address, please.
Good evening, Happy New Year. My name is Angela Wildridge, W-Y-L-D-E-R-I-C-H. I'm living 4328 Marillo Street. And I'm here tonight with fellow residents and also on behalf of many of our neighbors who live in this immediate vicinity and wish to have their concerns expressed and documented. So we live in $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 houses. We maintain our properties. We're heavily involved and invested in our community, and we have worked very hard to build a wonderful neighborhood, but unfortunately, we have been watching it resemble the inner city lately. We've had multiple car break-ins during the middle of the day, broad daylight, in our driveways. We've had vagrants at all hours of the day and night, vandalizing our mailboxes, trespassing onto our properties, committing burglaries on anything that isn't nailed down. I have come across hypodermic needles that are discarded on a sidewalk in front of a home that has young children. When we walk our dogs, we have to sidestep around human feces and trash that is scattered along Rochelle between McLeod and Eastern. At our local library branch, there are encampments along that street, and security has told me that they have tried on multiple times to offer access to resources, but they've been declined. And I do have a background in neighborhood revitalization, so I'm always inclined to try to assist people who appear to be in need and match them with programs of assistance, but I too have had them decline. And on some occasions, they've been verbally abusive, so I just stopped trying. The employees at the Walgreens at the other end of McLeod are afraid to open up the store in the morning because of people who have congregated and are sleeping by the front door. And we've watched people shooting up behind businesses along the main corridors. So I think, as you can understand, all these issues are impacting our safety, our quality of life, our finances, and our home values, and we're very concerned about this. We have addressed some of these issues with our commissioner and also with our local substation, but these problems go far beyond just law enforcement. We obviously need to have a plan in place as soon as possible to prevent further decline of the neighborhood. I think we can all agree that we are tired and we're exhausted. We don't like what we're seeing, and we've begun documenting everything with our cameras in case we have to share it with the media, just out of desperation, to highlight and emphasize the need for action. And I'll give the floor to someone else if they wish to comment. Thank you.
Thank you.
I have a drummer voice, so sorry. I'm not a really good drum fish. I too, Pam Marfall, and I live at 4405 McLeod, so it's the corner of McLeod and University. I'm here just to hope that we can get more police patrols and Metro Times. Public Works is fabulous work. I have the wash. So the wash goes under the cloud. And I call them the sleep before people or sleep under people. They've been in our carports. I have people sometimes sleep in the carport. Metro is good. Once I can get them out, offering them another place to be, just not there. But it's getting really, really scary, more than it was cleaned up for a while. Now it's pretty bad again. And as a woman said, hypodermic needles and just feces and stuff. And it's my carport too, right there. So it's just scary. I'm an assault survivor from years ago, some of the people in the neighborhood also have the same history. And when this started to go downhill, I just said, come on, I can't hide. So we started neighborhood watch, and that's kind of gone down a little bit too. So as I said, public works is fabulous, but they can't be here, and they can't patrol when people go. So we're just asking if somehow, and the Walgreens situation is really scary for the employees because they open they come at 6 in the morning and they said, we wanted to urge just parking in front of the door. And the encampment's kind of behind the cranes towards the bridge and so the street. So that's all. Which was a tell. Yeah.
Thank you. Anyone else like this thing?
Sure. I'm sorry about that. My name's Lenny Tallarico. I live at 4461 Live Oak Drive. First of all, I want to thank everyone for being here and for what you're doing. I actually sat for many years on the Community Development Recommending Board here in Clark County, and I know that it sometimes is a thankless job sitting here having to hear from neighbors and constituents about everything that goes on. I will ask one question. I couldn't hear your name earlier, but are you here on behalf of the county as well?
Yes.
I thought so, Wanda. Lenny Tallarico, I think we met many years ago. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. I couldn't hear earlier because it was a little noisy. I appreciate what you said early on about think about the neighbors who live in the area. That was the comment that was made a short time ago. And it's interesting that we're sitting here in the community center, Paradise Park. I'm one of the neighbors that lives in the area. I could walk to this building from my house. There are jokes, homeowners association. And many of the comments that we hear are challenges that we really need someone to help us with in this community and act upon. I have a very lengthy presentation. We don't have the ability to show that here, but I am happy to share that with you after this meeting. I can send you a PDF, and it talks about a couple different areas that we need help with. The first, with infrastructure. You hear that from everyone. So infrastructure is really important to us in this particular neighborhood. In fact, in January of 2020, I had reached out to Commissioner Sagerblum specifically about the challenges that we were having along University Avenue and along Rochelle. Those streets have not been touched since they were put in. My stepmom, who's sitting here, is 80-some years of age. Sorry, I'm not going to give you the exact number, okay? She's an original resident of our community there, okay? She was there when the first road was paved, and it's the same asphalt that's been there. It's a challenge. The homeless issue, as it's brought up, we all understand that that happens throughout the county, it happens throughout the city, it happens everywhere in our world, and we empathize and understand that. But the challenge is, when you say, think about your neighbors, we have homeless people that are sleeping in the planter beds directly behind each of our backyards. As you drive out of here this evening, you go along McLeod and you go along Harmon, we have people that are sleeping in those beds. I personally have had to go and ask people to leave. We've called numerous times, 311, whatever we can, to get support, and it falls on deaf ears. We've had to go out there and rouse them ourselves to get people out of there. I've had to go out and clean myself, and I won't even describe to you what I've had to clean out of there myself, because they're in the planter beds behind my stepmom's house, okay? And that she's only one of those people in the community that are living there. We have that. Yes.
Everyone's allowed 3 minutes.
3 minutes. I'm a four-member household. I'd like to see if my people could cede their 3 minutes for me.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Okay. So, thank you very much. We also have traffic problems, and we have dangerous driving problems here. I don't think that this is going to be news to anyone that's sitting here. The corner of McLeod and Harmon, if you go back and you look at the records, there have been more traffic accidents at that intersection over the years. You could probably count on the digits between your fingers and your toes combined. So we have a challenge that's ongoing there, and we constantly have to call the substation, and we have to call and say, who can come out here, and who can assist us with what's going on? Bravo to Las Vegas, and forgetting the Formula One, okay? There's good and bad that goes with it, because the problem that happens all over Las Vegas happens 3 times a week, where people are doing wheelies in that area, and the dangerous driving that's happening right in that intersection that's had a tremendous number of accidents over the years. The crime issues have already been documented, but again, in this information that I'll pass on to you, there are a number of which have already been documented. We called 311. We've had trespassers into our gated community where we live, at Heritage Oaks. We've had to call and have somebody escorted out of there because they came in and a homeless person was trespassing. University runs directly along the wash that's there. Okay? This evening, on your way home, you may want to drive. It's actually a river that's flowing through there. Unfortunately, there was even someone, a homeless person, who died in that last year. Okay? So we have to do better for the community. We have to do better in this entire area. The other thing that I'll bring up, on your way home tonight, you may be able to stop on the corner there as well. We have street peddlers that are out there that are selling all types of drinks, all types of fruits and beverages and whatever it is. And I don't mean to take anybody's livelihood away from them, but my question becomes, are they permitted? Do they have a special use permit? Do they have a health permit from the county to go out there and do that? In the business that I operate in, which is catering and events, every time I put on a catered event for someone, I have to go and I have to get a special use permit. I have to go and I have to get health permits. But yet we have people up and down in all of these neighborhoods that are now pop-up stands that are there. That's not what we bargained for when we purchased, and the lady who brought up here, what we purchased in this community. And over the 20 years that I've lived here, it has consistently gone down. And I have been to Commissioner Sacrebloom many, many times, and I've asked on the telephone for help, and we haven't received any help. And I'm really sorry that you're the person who has to take the message back to him, but personally, I'm tired. I'm fed up with it, okay? We had better representation in the past, and I'm really just not happy with the responses or lack thereof that we're getting. Lastly, we're sitting here in Paradise Park. It's been documented, okay? We can walk through Paradise Park. In the dark, be really careful where you walk, because it might not only be hypodermic needles you're stepping on, who knows what kind of ammunition has been dropped there. There's been shootings here. Also in this PowerPoint that I'll be happy to share with you is the documentation about that. It's been on the news. It was on News 3 a year and 3 months ago. They were out here in Paradise Park and interviewed people that are sitting in this audience. And what has been done since then about any of the complaints that were raised? And the answer is, together,
nothing.
So at the end of the day, we're here to ask you, you're our last hope at this point. You're the advisory board for our area. So we're asking you to look into this seriously and advise and come up with us together. What are the solutions that can be put into place that are going to help us improve the quality of life for people who continue and want to live here in this community? We're not coming to you because we don't want to do anything about it ourselves. We have hit a brick wall. I can give you the documented emails and show you how many times I've called Public Works and said, what about the potholes along University? When are they going to be fixed? And at the end of the day, I appreciate the fact that we had 2.5 to 3 years of a very difficult time. And everybody has used the excuse, COVID, and we're not able to get to it, and we couldn't do this. Okay, well now, we're at the end of that. We should be at the point now where we're at the top of the list. The last time I called Public Works, I was told they were going out to bid in May for that improvement area along University. And what have we seen or heard from that so far? Everyone, nothing once again. So again, we're here in front of you. I'm begging you, please look into this. I'll give everyone my name, my telephone number, my email, whatever it is you need. And Blanca, you know in the past, even when Rory was there, I came and had many meetings with Rory, which was there in the office as well, to do whatever we could to keep this neighborhood the pristine way that it once was. So what I'm here to ask you tonight is please join us as a community. Think of the neighbors, to your point exactly. And we are the neighbors. We are the people that are here that need your help right now. As an advisory board, you're our last stop at this point in time. We don't know what else to do.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
Yeah, how do you follow that?
keep on talking.
So my name is Ronnie Gutierrez. I live at 4329 Royal Street across from Manula. And I've been born and raised in Vegas. I've been living in that property for almost over 17 years. And I work from home, so I kind of keep an ear to the ground every day. And there has been a decline in my neighborhood, most definitely. At first, it started just lightly, like our mail was getting stolen all the time, so not all of us just put locks on our mail, and sometimes our locks get stolen, so we have to put it inside, so we have that going on, and then at some point, we were getting a lot of vagrants and people with, like, just cars with broken windshields and no license plate just all up in our neighborhood, and it seems like there's, like, a house somewhere that they, I don't know if they have a place of business or something going on, but I don't think there's a legitimate business, there's, like, an illegitimate business going on because
We have a neighbor who across from us, down the street towards that house, and he basically puts cameras everywhere. And if there's something going on, we always go to him. He's like the guy that has all these cameras at different angles, and he's like our go-to guy because he has one in our area. And so when packages go missing or something, he's the guy that we go to. I'm here for my mother and I'm here for my sister because they do live there. They got new cars, all that good stuff. But it's been a lot of weird stuff going on in that neighborhood, and it just seems like the other after Thanksgiving, there was like a school bus that was turned into like a living space and it was parked next to our house. And I talked to my neighbor and they're like, all right, yeah, they belong to a family of this other neighbor. And so we're like, okay, we'll leave them alone until after the holidays. And holidays passed and they were still there and their generators are running. My mom couldn't sleep because the generators are on at night. And then eventually I make a phone call to 311, I leave a voicemail because nobody's answering the phone. And then I finally leave the voicemail, and then they don't respond until maybe 2-3 weeks because it's a violation because they're in front of a freaking stop sign. So it's just kind of like just the micro, just little things that kind of just build up and just kind of make you kind of think like, man, like what's going on, you know? But I don't want to waste too much time. I kind of want to say my piece. It's my first time here, and I plan to come by again because, I see a lot of passion here. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Anybody else? Okay, so I'm going to close the public comment. By being here, you are on the record. It's all being recorded. It's going to be placed on the county's website. Don't the commissioners get a ability to hear our comments and speakers? With each of the commissioners.
Well, I'll work with commissioners in the women's office and express their email. I'm happy to share that with the office and have to work on In my mind, that's kind of what I think I want to do. Invite some of those offices that would otherwise be working on some of these complaints. Invite public works to it, invite mentor to it, invite public response to this meeting. In my mind, it's kind of what I want. But send your email, and find the members of the interactions and your letter to just kind of idea all the different areas of concerns, and then we'll just kind of meet and listen.
We appreciate that.
I can tell you from experience, I've known Blanca for about 20 years, even before I was on the board. I worked with her on issues in my neighborhood, and she is the go-to person. We have had meetings in my neighborhood where she organized having the commissioner come to the neighborhood, the metros come, public works people have come to answer questions and be able to show your presentation. As I say, you're on the record now, and you've got her ear, and so that's the best thing you can do, short of chasing them out yourself. So we appreciate your time very much. Anything else?
Could I share one other thing? When I call public works, when I call CarePol and say, oh my God, the fence is cut, or something like that, she does best to get someone there in a few days to get it taken care of. But they are overwhelmed. That's the thing. So they're really good to our corner, but what can you do about it? It's the best to do. So,
I appreciate that. Okay, our next meeting is January.
I have one thing to say.
Name and address.
Tanika Delatorre, Delatorre, 5410 Latigo Street, 89119. I'm calling because I have called several times Public Works on a light across the street from my house. I have to get my daughter up at 5 in the morning to get the bus. I have called in October, I've called in November. My neighbor, who's old school, who does not use computers, called and they said that they did not have the lights to replace it, the light bulbs. It's not right that I have to get up and I don't have a light. I have my neighbor across the street who has his Christmas lights on. because I had told him I have to wait up there for the bus at 5 in the morning when it's pitch dark. When I come home sometimes at 7 or 8 at night, it's pitch dark. It's not right. It's, I have called several times. And they no longer carry this light. That's what they're telling me. 50 for 10 Latigo. All I'm asking is to replace the light or put in the new lights down the roof. Thank you. Guys, have a nice evening.
Thank you. Okay, so can I have a motion to adjourn? So our next meeting is actually January 31st, not the
24th. Oh, yeah. Just for point of order.
Okay. So go ahead and make the motion to adjourn.
Yeah.
I'm making the motion to adjourn until our next meeting, January 31st.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
Are you in favor of adjourn?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
It just helps if they need to get a hold of somebody or...